Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so if you're paying attention this morning on Twitter, there's a couple Pac-12 folks that were teasing something. They were hinting at something. They said John Wilner, who covers the Pac-12, has for a long time, he said this morning, "I believe the world is about to change." That was less than an hour ago. You're like, all right, come on. What are we talking about? Colin Cowherd is tweeting the zipper mouth emoji.
I almost went off on him, actually.
Yeah. He's like, what could you possibly be saying? Well, John Wilner is reporting, according to a source, USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. He says the move has not been finalized yet at the highest level of power. Once again, last summer we had Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. This summer, USC and UCLA reportedly on their way to the Big Ten and not in the not-so-distant future. And we're joined by Mr. West Coast himself, Michael Bruns of Husker 24/7. Hello, Michael!
Wow.
How about that?
How about that?
So you tweeted it. It's a great one. San Diego, the Big Ten, no more is Lincoln, Nebraska.
It was a good run. Well, I guess they still could be, since I guess both of those schools are in Los Angeles. But, yeah, that's something. I selfishly, my mind immediately goes to the, you know, that this means a road trip to L.A. versus a road trip to State College more frequently. So this is nothing but good.
Are you ready for the, I mean, the Big Ten is now, you know, it's reportedly taking over the world. I mean, it's a coast to coast conference.
Yeah, I'll be eager to kind of see what plays out from this, but yeah, I mean, you all of a sudden would have markets in, you would have New York, you'd have that market, TV market. You would have, obviously, L.A., Chicago. That's pretty significant. And, you know, I don't...
Are we ready for the Big Ten title game to be at SoFi Stadium?
Yes. let's move it out there. I don't mind Indy so much, but, you know, L.A. would beat that, I feel like.
I am also now, my mind's just racing here. I'm also imagining USC and UCLA playing in Big Ten baseball games, which is a hilarious thought to me.
Well, let's go! There's been Big Ten teams that have been to the College World Series since USC has, so let's not pretend like they've been the titans of the sport lately.
Remember when Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole came up here and played that early March game a few years ago? That's yeah, every game now.
The real field was like 27, right?
Yep.
Like they probably had no business playing that baseball game, but they did. So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what that means for USC and, you know, what their plans of world domination are, but yeah, that's significant news for a Thursday.
Okay, so you got to think that, I mean, USC, since they've hired Lincoln Riley, has been pretty, I mean, they've been pretty outspoken about this as much as they can, of like, hey, we need more. We're one of the teams, we're one of the schools in the country that is going to put money into playing football, and we can't get left behind, and we're going to get left behind by sitting in the Pac-12. That's the Pac-12 sort of stance on it. It just sort of furthers the gap between the SEC, the Big Ten, and everybody else. Honestly, it's a pretty good counter to Texas and Oklahoma, about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, you get, at least from the Big Ten's point of view, I mean, you get UCLA, who's a blue blood basketball program, potentially. You know, USC's been a lot better recently. I think they've been spending more money. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how closely people follow Pac-12 stuff, but, you know, there's been a lot of hand-wringing over the last decade about how that conference is falling farther and farther behind. And, you know, it's much more of a regional conference. It's just become that. And, you know, part of that is the Pac-12 network distribution deal has been absolutely terrible. You know, the games late at night are, you know, they don't help anybody. So, yeah, I mean, I think for a school that sees itself as a national program, wants to compete for national titles, I don't know how realistic that is out of the Pac-12. I mean, aside from Oregon, you know, that there's not a lot of juice there. I do kind of wonder what, you know, a school like Utah is thinking, or like Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, I think in some ways, you know, without those two anchoring the conference in LA, I mean, that's a pretty big hole there.
Oregon's got to be freaking out right now.
Well, I mean, what if you're the Pac-12 and let's say you lose UCLA and USC? I mean, what's your counter? I mean, do you go get Boise State? I mean, do you? Yeah.
You're in the exact same place that the Big 12 was in when they lost Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and their response was to go get UCF, Cincinnati, and BYU. Like, it still doesn't do quite as much.
No, and your options are, I think, are just so limited on the West Coast because there's not. It's just different out there, and there's not. I think at all levels, there's usually not the kind of institutional support for athletics that you see in the South or in the Midwest.
So, I mean, the idea of it started this way last summer. I guess it's been sort of building for a long time, but the idea of how we used to sort of view college football or college athletics in general, there was you mentioned the regional sort of sense that we had to all of it. Texas and Oklahoma are sort of a geographical fit for the SEC, but it changes things, and it changes things for those programs. Nebraska joined the Big Ten, you know, a decade ago, and they've had their struggles since then. USC and UCLA in the Big Ten in this world, if this is true, I mean, we throw sort of all of that out the window of how we used to know it if we're watching a UCLA-Rutgers basketball game on a weeknight on the Big Ten network.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I mean, we haven't hit on volleyball. I mean, adding USC and UCLA to the Big Ten volleyball, but I think a lot of the, you know, thought has been is that eventually you're going to end up with these super conferences. And, you know, this is potentially the Big Ten's answer to that. You know, I think it's interesting that a lot of the discussion about, okay, well, what direction would the Big Ten potentially go if they were going to get 16? I mean, one of them, the thought has always been, okay, go get Notre Dame and somebody else. But, you know, you start talking about schools that make sense geographically. And I just, you know, if you can make a splash with a UCLA or a USC, you know, that's pretty significant, you know, outside of getting Notre Dame. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what the move is if you're the Big Ten, aside from going really big and going more national that way. Because, like I said, it gives you – it's all about TV money, right?
Exactly.
It gives you L.A., it gives you Chicago, it gives you New York, and that's what really matters.
That's crazy. I mean, we don't even care anymore about cultural fit, geographical fit is way out the window. But, you know, from a cultural fit perspective, too, like that stuff just, I mean, this is an example, and a lot of the moves over the last decade have been the examples of it. It just does not matter anymore. It straight up doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, if you want to pretend that, you know, the academic type stuff still matters, I mean, USC and UCLA do bring that kind of reputation and, you know, rankings wise and, you know, kind of prestige as an academic institution. But yeah, I mean, it's almost more of, it's less of a family type feel and it's more of a business now. And that's just kind of where they're at. So if, you know, they continue down this path and that actually is the direction they go. I'm curious to see what this means for scheduling and like how the heck you even think about like
9 a.m. Nebraska USC out west.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it's, that's big thinking on the Big Ten's part, I guess, to go that route if that's true.
Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated has confirmed the report from John Wilner. He mentions teams are jockeying to get into the top two leagues of the FBS, the SEC, and the Big Ten. Is there a chance? I don't know. This basically reminds me of the day we were all sitting in Indianapolis last summer talking about the exact same thing with Oklahoma and Texas. Like, where does our sport go? What happens after this? I don't know. Like, are we in a world? I mean, think about some of the programs that are left in the Big 12, that are left in the Pac-12, who aren't included in these moves. We mentioned Oregon already. I can't imagine that Oregon is just going to sit there and be like, yeah, I guess we'll just be the best team out west and something that doesn't matter. There's going to be some more movement here of people wanting to join the Big Ten and the SEC. The question is, do the conferences want to continue to expand and we're in a world where it is super duper conferences?
As you said that, all I heard was Oregon to the SEC. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, Oregon to the SEC. It's a great cultural and geographical fit, as we mentioned. Bruns?
Is the movement done at that point? I don't know, but yeah, I mean if you're the Big 12, I mean, and you're the rest of the Pac-12, I mean, you got to find some way to link up there. Maybe I don't know if, you know, one kind of cannibalizes the other or something like that. But
are you talking about an alliance, if you will?
Well, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Texas was going to the Pac-12, right?
That's right.
Those were the days.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. So, once again, if you missed the report, USC, UCLA, engaged in conversations to join the Big Ten Conference. And we're here with Michael Bruns just getting the immediate gut reactions to it. Bruns,
I'm just imagining like Rutgers women's soccer having to do like a midweek trip to like LA for a game.
Hey man, that TV money is going to come in handy.
You're going to be needing it for all those charter flights.
Well, this has got to be exciting for you because you might get to watch Nebraska football play after, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock now on the West Coast.
It's going to screw up my TV watching. I'm going to have to probably record the late Hawaii game.
Yeah, your bit's almost dead now, or everybody joins your bit because you're the guy who stays up late and watches all the pointless Mountain West games. And now look at us. We're all West Coast guys.
I love a 9:30 start on Saturday
night.
We're
on the West Coast now.
Yeah, you all are going to get to feel the joy and exhilaration of Fresno State and Colorado State just chucking passes into the night at 1 a.m.
Awesome. Yeah, Brent has a ton of experience with that. Oh, okay, let me ask you a couple Nebraska football questions before we get you out of here and we'll move on to some other things. The UCLA-USC thing is obviously huge. I was just talking about this. What is the target number, or is there a target range for what you think Nebraska is going to have as in terms of like an output for points this year? So basically I'm asking the question of what team are they going to be? How are they offense first? Are they defense first? There's talk of, you know, you want to cut down on the turnovers, have better special teams as much as you can. It feels like to me that it's pointing toward the direction of defense more than it is to offense, even with all the talk of the offense this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if part of that, it feels that way too. I mean, and you know, I still think Nebraska is going to be in a lot of really close games. It just kind of feels like with the trajectory that this defense has been on, which I think has been, you know, gradual improvement, I think that, you know, it's pretty natural early on to say that you might need the defense to buy the offense some time to kind of figure itself out. And, you know, I think there's a lot of question marks around the offensive line, even more so in light of the suspension news from over the weekend. And
yep.
I just think, you know, you're going to need some of those guys on the defense to really step up. And I'm talking to, you know, Nick Henrich or a Luke Reimer. Those guys need to start off the season well. And you need the back end of your defense in the secondary to kind of gel quickly. And the defensive line, I mean, is still as much of a question mark as, you know, maybe what you have on the offensive line. But I think there's enough experience there that group can be steady, and you haven't had the coaching turnover on the defensive side of the ball, and there's a lot of, you know, comfort familiarity there. So I think, yeah, and I especially early on, I think it's going to have to be defense and special teams and playing more solid football.
Like, this is what I eventually, like, the question that I eventually landed on. Like, is Eric Shenander actually the most important person for this season? Obviously, there's the whole, you know, Scott Frost, Mark Whipple, how does that mesh? And that's, you know, not minimizing that at all. But they got to be good on defense. And it's something that I don't think that I was planning on, like, being the orientation of the team when we started on this journey of this long offseason here.
Yeah, I mean, I still think probably Mark Whipple and how that all gets figured out is probably the most important. But I think the pressure on the defense is, how do you continue, like I said, that trajectory, that kind of the way they've been playing the last couple seasons, and how do you build on that? And I think you mentioned the turnover piece of it. You know, you went and got O'Shawn Mathis out of the portal, a guy that's a difference maker, can, you know, help cause turnovers, sacks, disruptive plays. I think Garrett Nelson is at that point in his career where he's ready to be counted on in that way a little bit more. Keelan Tanner's a senior. So I think it's, you know, I don't think they need to come out and be like the, you know, the Sue era type defense, but I do think that they need to come out and play steady right away. So, you know, it's more of a question of how do you continue that trajectory, but also having different pieces in there than what you've relied on in the past.
All right, Bruns, we'll let you go. We'll look forward to you informing us about all there is to enjoy on the West Coast, and we'll look to you for guidance over these next couple of years.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to starting the research.
See you, Bruns.
See you.
Michael Bruns, Husker 24/7. Woo-wee!
Let's go.
Now, this could all happen at the same time. This is one of the news stories that sort of like sends a chill down your spine. Like, whoa, this is huge. I also at the same time can say, and as we talked about in there with Bruns, this is ultimately the nail in the coffin of college football as we knew it. It is no longer a regional fun, not fun, it could be fun, I guess, but it's no longer like this regional thing that the individual teams and their fan bases really care about. We talked about the purity mm-hmm. that college baseball seems to have that compared to college football. That world is gone.
It is no longer your traditions are dead. It is a race to the cash.
We have two mega conferences, or we're about to have two mega conferences with the SEC and the Big Ten that will total 32 teams with a lot of name brand. 32, that's 32 out of the 65 quote unquote Power Five teams are going to be in two conferences starting soon. When that number is, I don't know. Texas and Oklahoma thing, I still don't know. USC, UCLA in the Big Ten in maybe 2024. I mean, the world as we know it is dead. It does not exist anymore. And by the way, so I can say all that and also say, I'm not sure if this is the best thing for the game. We got to embrace it because this is what it is now, and Nebraska's in this world, and thank God they are, right? Because I would not want to be in a place right now where Nebraska is stuck in the Big 12 and they're trying to latch on with somebody and nobody wants to take them because they haven't won a whole lot of games recently and their brand's not terribly strong. Like, I wouldn't want to be in that world. It'd be scary. That's what USC has been, and this is a USC move, just like it was a Texas move. This is a USC move. They're just bringing UCLA along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what USC was thinking over the last 2 years, or over the last year since Texas and Oklahoma moved to the Big Ten and our big SEC, and they could see this thing coming. They say, whoa, there's going to be two super conferences and we're not going to be a part of it? Hell no. Get me in the Big Ten. And that's what they did. Or reportedly, that's what they are doing. But this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And then... Let's just go back to a semantics thing real quick, and we're going to talk about this plenty in the 1 o'clock hour. So 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, hey, we might get a schedule soon. You might get what the future of the Big Ten looks like, and the TV deal, and all that's going to be done. And then remember how they sort of leaked out? Yeah, this is gonna take some time. They got to go through some stuff. They got to dot some T's. Cross some I's, other way.
Don't forget the J's. Got to dot those J's.
This is what they were doing. This is why the delay has been there.
Yeah.
So now we may be in a world where in a couple weeks, maybe at Big Ten Media Days, Kevin Warren is going to stand up there with a big banner behind him that says mission accomplished. And he's going to say, welcome everybody and welcome USC and UCLA. And here's our schedule. We don't have any divisions. We have pods. Welcome to the conference, our West Coast brethren. Whoa.
So many trickle downs after that. Like, what does Oregon do? Does Notre Dame go? It's time. Let's fully join the ACC. Does the ACC go, we need some more teams here. Hey, Big 12, you want to get together? You want to do a thing?
I honestly, and
everybody's scrambling.
The reason why here we in Nebraska can be happy about this right now is because we're included.
Yep.
We're in the club.
We're in.
It's like I said, if Nebraska's on the outside looking in, I would not be happy about this.
Nope.
If I'm Oregon, I'm freaking out.
Phil Knight is on the phone with everybody at the same time right now at this second.
Right. What do I have to do? Please. I'll give up anything.
I will outfit the conference for free.
But the Big Ten and the SEC are the two conferences that are going to matter starting in 2 years. And everything else just won't.
So you want to talk about those Padres City Connect uniforms?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Josh's top five?
It was going to be top five Gatorade flavors. It feels stupid now. Like, should we just talk about this for the rest of the show? Yeah, like, I'm fine with that if we want to cut the top five
today.
Do we
just scrap it?
I think we probably should.
Top five realignment moves? Top five Chip Brown tweets? I don't know.
Poll question, do you want my top five Gatorade flavors?
We'll play it by ear.
Maybe if in like half an hour because this also might be Gonzaga to the Big East.
Oh yeah,
like in 35 minutes we might go.
No, this is more real than that.
Yeah, it feels like there's a little more substance here.
Some real life changing, earth shattering stuff.
There's some smoking guns there.
We'll be back with more next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.